Good evening, everyone. Hello, hello.
All right.
Come on in. It's time for Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ Bible Study. We're here on tonight with a new study.
That's right. That's right. I was trying to see if that was going to come up, Lady Kim, but that's it right there at the top. But we praise God for each of you, and we thank God for his presence, and we thank God for his power and his protection. That's three P's right there, right?
Presence, power, and protection.
And his promises are sure, and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And so this is probably the hottest day we've experienced thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I was trying to go for my walk this morning, and it was just unbearable. I got a late start, but that's normally the time I always start. But it was like 88 degrees out there. And Pixie was looking at me like, are you sure we're supposed to be out here? But we praise God for each of you, and we hope that you are staying safe and sound, and you're staying covered, and you're staying cool. As we prepare for this study tonight, as Lady Kim indicated, this is a new study that we're starting. We're starting a study on wisdom and the books of wisdom, and just trying to get a sense of what God is saying to us and how God is going to use us in this particular study. We're going to do something a little different with the first few. We're going to do an overview and just kind of touch on some finer points in Job. And Job is a familiar book in the Bible. You hear it referenced all the time. Let us know that the sound is coming in clear and that you can hear us okay, and that you're getting a good signal. But we're going to jump into Job tonight, and then hopefully we'll get a chance to finish up the overview tonight as we prepare for this new study on wisdom. Anything else you want to add to that, Lady Kim?
No, just greetings to everyone who's joining in, and all of our visitors who are viewing tonight. We welcome you on tonight.
All right. Well, let's prepare as we go to God in prayer. Let's prepare for this time together. Father, we bless you and we honor you.
Yes, we do.
And we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives at this very moment. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. And we realize that in you we live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that without you we are nothing and can do nothing. And so now, God, we pray that you would just meet us even as we prepare for this time together. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen,
amen,
amen, and praise God.
Amen.
Look like everybody's saying we're getting a good signal and everything is coming in pretty good.
Yes.
And so for those of you just joining us, we're in the book of Job tonight, the first chapter, and we're going to try to work our way at least through this whole book tonight, Lady Kim. I don't know if we're going to be able to cover all of the, but it's not going to be like we normally do. It's just
right.
Going to be a preview, and so we'll give
overview.
You an overview, I mean,
mm-hmm.
of this particular book,
mm-hmm.
and just hit some of the finer points as it relates to this particular book. And
mm-hmm.
the study for this go around is dealing with wisdom,
mm-hmm.
understanding what God requires of us and how important and significant wisdom is. And so I think one of the definitions we see, wisdom means both a way of thinking and a body of knowledge gained through such thinking, as well as the ability to apply it to life.
Amen.
And so you have to put into practice
mm-hmm.
what you know, and
mm-hmm.
then you have to seek God's guidance and direction
mm-hmm.
as you go.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of rhymed, doesn't it?
It kind of rhymes.
You kind of put into practice what you know, and you have to seek God's guidance and direction as you go. And so God will give you wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God,
mm-hmm.
and he will give it to them. And so we have to be mindful of that. Because I think a lot of times we operate in our own understanding, and we seek God after we have made a mess of everything.
Amen.
And then we try to get clarity from God. But if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says all of these other things shall be added unto us. Mm-hmm. So let's try to abide by that, and I think it will save us a whole lot of headaches, misery, and pain. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with me on that,
Absolutely.
Lady Kim?
Absolutely. All
right. But we're going to try to jump in. But before we do that, we had a powerful time in the Lord on yesterday at ATOP. And our regional minister and president of the Tennessee region of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, she came and she shared with us. She was coming for a commissioning service as well as to preach. But I tell you, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and she was obedient to what God was saying, and it turned into a spirit-filled worship experience. And I kind of, I think I mentioned it in the service that this is just part two of the Pentecost.
Amen.
Because
yes,
I tell
was.
You, it was flowing, and she was flowing.
The Holy Spirit came in that
the
place.
The Holy Spirit was present. And my, did we have a good time in the Lord. Anything that you want to recap from what you experienced on yesterday, Lady Kim?
Amen. Well, you know, she said it was ironic that the topic of her sermon was, I think, blame it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain. Mm-hmm. And so we can blame yesterday's service on the rain That's, of the Holy Spirit.
On the rain of the Holy Spirit.
Because the Holy
That's
Spirit
good.
Rained in that place.
Yes, it did.
And she never did get to her sermon, you know, but we just thank God for Dr. Crystal and leading of her of the Spirit of God as she prophesied mm-hmm. to several people within the congregation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something when the prophet of God speaks over the house of God, mm-hmm. the word of God that
That's
comes
right.
directly from heaven. My, you could feel that spirit. You could cut it with a knife in there yesterday. So we just thank God for her obedience.
That's right.
She didn't even get a chance to preach her sermon.
No, she didn't.
Amen. But she prophesied for about 45 minutes.
Yes.
And we had a ball. Amen.
That's right. And it was almost as if the people that she was speaking to, you could have, if you didn't know any better, you would think that I had told her some things about them. But she spoke things into people's lives on yesterday that the Lord had to give her.
Yes.
And I never talked to her about any of the people that she called out. But God was witnessing, the Holy Spirit was present, and the rain of God fell even Amen. In the house on yesterday. And so we praise God for Dr. Crystal Williams. We had opportunity to spend some time with her for lunch today as she is preparing to go back to Nashville. She's a regular on our Bible study. We don't know if she made it back or not, but we praise God for her witness and for her anointing. And we talked about a lot of things, but the other part of the reason she was in Memphis, Lady Kim, was for the commissioning service that happened before she got up to and thought that she was going to preach. But we had a powerful time of commissioning three of our ministers on yesterday. And you were one of them, as well as Dr. Qualis Seymour and Dr. Carolyn Butler, who have all processed as we relate and as we connect in terms of our affiliation with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Even though you all had already been ordained at ATOP and had already gone through proper training, this is a broader spectrum of getting into the larger work of the body of Christ. And so this gives you clarity, and then it gives you even more direction as you move forward in using your gifts. And so we were just honored that the three of you were commissioned on yesterday. And that really kind of set the tone,
yes,
wouldn't you agree,
yes.
for what happened in the worship experience? Anything
yes.
you want to say as it relates
yes.
to that?
No, and I'm just thankful to God. You know, some people do things a little later in life. I think I'm one of those late bloomers. You mm-hmm. know, when I taught elementary school, I used to read books all the time.
Okay.
And one favorite book of mine that I would read my first graders was Lily the Late Bloomer.
Okay.
Lily, and I feel like Lily the Late Bloomer, you know, but even though you bloom late, it's like a flower. All the other flowers have already bloomed, but mm-hmm. you have this one bud that's still tightly closed.
Mm-hmm.
And when all the other flowers begin to die, you look around and all of a sudden, here that flower is budding. And that's just like, I'm like Lily the Late Bloomer.
Okay.
You know, this I feel should have been done years ago, but here I am nonetheless.
That's
and
right.
What a beautiful sight it was on yesterday. I don't think the other ladies were late bloomers, but you know, I'm Lily the Late Bloomer
because
I, you know, been around for a while and could have been commissioned a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But better late than never,
that's
right?
That's it.
So I just thank God for the commissioning.
Okay. And you know, as you were speaking on that, Reverend, the three of you have actively engaged and already using your gifts in the body of Christ. And that's a clear sign of somebody who's committed and dedicated to the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was more or less a confirmation mm-hmm. and an affirmation, mm-hmm. if you will, for what y'all are already doing. And I believe I said on yesterday, and God has so blessed us at ATOP and surrounded us with so many people who have various gifts in the body of Christ. And I tell you, it's just amazing how God is using people, how God is elevating people, how people are growing and stretching their faith. And I believe this is going to open the door for others who will come as a result of what they were able to witness on yesterday.
Amen. We are praying so.
That's right. That's
praying
right.
Praying that mm-hmm. they come forth.
Mm-hmm.
God needs more laborers mm-hmm. in the vineyard. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
That's right.
So the scripture says, pray that the Lord send more laborers into
to the vineyard.
To the vineyard.
That's right. And so as she prophesied to our youngest daughter, it's not always about that little square in front of the podium, behind the podium. And people think that when God is calling them, many times they think that they get it confused and say, well, I don't know how to preach. I'm not called mm-hmm. to preach. It's not always about the preaching ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That's one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are various ways in which we can use our gifts and how we can bring forth the fivefold ministry of the church. All of that has to be in place in order for us to be effective, in order for us to be productive in ministry. And I just believe there are others who are going to come forth and acknowledge their call to ministry and understand that it's not just a preaching ministry, but you can serve, you can
mm-hmm.
teach,
mm-hmm.
you can do a variety of things in the body of Christ, because God needs more laborers mm-hmm. who are willing to make that kind of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And once you step out,
yes.
watch God step in.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. But lest we prolong the time, Lady Kim,
mm-hmm.
we also had a significant milestone in your life that
Amen.
We celebrated in the life of the church.
Amen.
And the people of God responded by letting you know how much they appreciate and love you with cards and gifts. And I'm waiting for you to take me out, but whenever you get around to it, just let me know. But it was a tremendous outpouring of love.
Yes, and I thank everyone
mm-hmm.
for their love, and thank you for just blessing me and blessing my life. You know, I say all the time, people say all the time they live on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I live on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby County School has fixed it. I don't get no more and no less.
It's fixed.
It's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But it's just nice to be thought of and nice to be blessed in such a powerful way. And I thank everyone. And I think our visitor, our overseas visitor, Brother Cletus. Amen.
Mm-hmm. He shared a birthday?
Shared a birthday
on yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw
okay.
online, and I think he's online.
Is he on tonight?
Yes, he's online tonight.
Okay.
And so
okay.
I thank God for everyone born in the month of June
mm-hmm.
For blessing with another birthday.
Yes. And, you know, even after we finished at ATOP, we went and had a powerful service with our tallest Timothy, Pastor Marquise McPherson.
What a wonderful time we had.
In the New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church.
Yeah, that was awesome.
In his second anniversary celebration. He didn't have a first celebration because of COVID. But the glory of the Lord was in the house, and a lot of love was in the room as we went and celebrated with them their pastor's second anniversary. And I tell you, it was an amazing service, wasn't it?
It was.
And so we were just glad to be able to go over and share with New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church and let them know that we love them and we love their pastor. And he's always a part of ATOP, and ATOP showed up in a powerful way to express
you,
their love for Pastor Marquise McPherson in the New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. All right, well, we're in Job. The first part, we're going to just kind of do an overview, and we're going to move through these chapters, if you will, and just kind of you know, give some highlights and talk about some things that's happening here in Job. But as we go into this whole study around wisdom, for those of you who just joined us, wisdom means both a way of thinking and a body of knowledge gained through such thinking, as well as the ability to apply it. And so we have to seek God and ask God to give us wisdom and direction, and that we might do what God would require of us to do. And I think we'll see as we break down this particular book of Job how wisdom is applied. And we're going to go through Job. We're going to look at Proverbs. Not all of that tonight, but we're going to look at Proverbs. And we're also going to look at Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and all of these can be considered as wisdom books, or books of wisdom. And so this first part, Job, you know, many people are already well acquainted with Job in some form or fashion. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And so Job was, he was similar to David. He was devoted. He was a follower. The Bible says he was blameless and he was upright. And then it says he was one who feared God and turned away from evil.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And that's in the first chapter, in the first verse of Job. And the other part, I think, is brings clarity to understanding Job's overall processing of the wisdom of God, is that God loved him so much that he allowed the enemy to even try him. And Job remained faithful through all of the tests that came before him. What else do you want to tell us about Job? Because he had some kids and all of that.
He had a whole slew of chilling. He had 10 children, and he had thousands of cattle.
That's right.
He was a devoted father. And he offered burnt offerings for his children just in case they sinned. Isn't that something?
That's
he
powerful.
Looked out for even his children. He wanted God to honor his children. So he offered burnt offerings for the sins of his children, because we know our kids going to do stupid, crazy stuff. So he already offered sacrifices for them. He was a very righteous and blessed man of the Old Testament. God knew the heart of Job completely and offered Satan two separate opportunities to test Job. The first test caused the death of all of Job's children. All of his children and all of his property was taken away. So That's an amazing occurrence.
That's right.
That in the first test, all of his kids and all of his property was taken away. And the second test was an attack on Job's health. Sores all over his body. Can you just imagine? Sores all over. Not just on your, you know, on your chest, or not just on your, you know, your side or on your arm. All over his body. But his reaction to both occasions are astounding.
That's right.
In the first test, where he lost all his children and his property, the Bible says that Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped.
Worshiped God.
Could you imagine losing everything and being sick and worshiping God?
That's powerful.
Most of us would be angry with God. We'd be cursing God. We'd be rolling around crying and saying, oh, why me? But Job tore his clothes and worshiped God.
That's right. That's right. Well, Lady Kim, before you move forward, because it's amazing here that God allowed Satan to test Job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many times people become confused about being tested.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times what we have inside of us, God has placed there. And many times we don't know how we're going to respond unless there's a test, unless there's a trial or a tribulation that comes our way. James puts it this way, count it all joy.
All joy.
Because knowing that the trying of our faith is what worketh patience.
Yes.
But let patience have her perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I always say, Lady Kim, and you've heard me say it before, a faith that's not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted.
Right.
And so I think this is applicable to Job's situation, because this was an amazing test. He didn't just start out with some minor things in order to test him, because the Bible says God knew his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But he started out, he said, all right, I'm going to just wipe out all of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave the enemy permission to attack his children just to see how he was going to withstand that kind of test. And he came out, he worshiped God. He did not back from his faith or his trust in God. He believed God. And then when he was attacked by all of these sores all over his body, head to toe, he still worshiped God in the midst of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And as you indicated earlier, how many of us would withstand that kind of testing?
Mm-hmm.
And that shows a lot about Job's love for God. But what does it say when we are tested about our love for God?
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
But you know what? During that second testing,
mm-hmm.
Job's wife said something interesting to him. She said, you need to curse God and die.
That's right.
Curse God and die. What a horrible thing to say to your husband.
That's
just
right.
Go on and die.
Just die.
You know, you everything.
God
all
doesn't
is,
love you anymore.
Yeah, all this has happened to you. Just curse God
it.
And just die.
Yeah.
So
you lost all your property. You lost your children. You know, you got sores all over you. Your friends are talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and curse this God and die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I praise God tonight that we have a bond and a confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we have gone through the test, that has never been an issue in terms of moving away from God. But I think many times when we go through trials and tribulations,
it draws
us closer to God.
Yes.
And so that's a word for somebody tonight. I don't know what you're faced with. I don't know if your situation is as intense as Job's. But God sometimes tries us and tests our faith. And I believe he already puts in us everything that we need to withstand the test.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enemy already knows that when you're tested and it comes in like a flood, that you already have enough inside of you to withstand the test. So don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You might be going through a testing right now, but know this, as James said, the trying of your faith is what worketh patience. So let patience have a perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This too will pass. This will pass. And God's going to honor you as a result of you remaining faithful in the midst of this trial.
Mm-hmm. So Job's integrity and his steadfast attitude is just admirable.
That's right.
You know, and we too ought to strive to live as Job did.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's really kind of the first
couple of chapters,
right mm-hmm. there in terms of what transpired. But when you move down through chapters 3 and all the way 37. Through 37, you'll see that there was an ongoing discussion between Job and his three friends. And this discussion began by Job lamenting, if you will, feeling sorrowful over his birth, asking, why did I not die at birth and come out of the womb and expire? And all of his friends believed that Job had sinned, and that's what it was that caused the punishment to happen that he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it amazing how when those who are closest to you, when they see you in a different light and they see something different in terms of what they are used to, they will try to convince you that it's something
wrong
that it's not
you.
And mm-hmm. something's wrong with you. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And so this was what was happening with Job and his friends. I believe I preached a sermon back a while ago entitled "I Can Do Bad All By Myself." You know, and so Job in essence was telling his friend, look, I can do bad all by myself. I need you to encourage me when I'm down. I don't need you to push me
right
on down in the ground.
Right.
But I need you to encourage me and give me some kind of sense of, you know, that you're with me in the
right.
midst of what I'm going through.
Absolutely. You know, that, and I think they just fell right in line with Job's wife, you
mm-hmm.
know, with the pity party. Minister Loretta says, I think his wife was speaking out of hurt and anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, she probably was hurt,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you think about it, her children were gone too.
That's
you
right.
know, they
That's
were
right.
her 10 children too.
That's
I,
right.
I believe they were all hers,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they were her children too. So
mm-hmm.
she was hurt about losing her children. It was her property too.
That's right.
Even though women weren't allowed to have property, but she lived there. So she suffered a great loss, just like Job did, although she was not stricken with her health. And so, yes, that's a good point, Minister Loretta.
That's
she
right.
was hurt, and she did speak out of anger.
And we had a conversation today about that, because a mother's anguish at the loss of
a child
is like none other.
Right.
And so she no doubt probably did have some difficulty in trying to process what was happening to her husband. And it's also clear, and it's not in the scriptures, that her faith probably was not as strong as Job's during this whole process. But she was able to witness Job's faith and his trust in God through what he had to endure, because they were well off, Lady Kim.
Mm-hmm.
They were living high.
They were living large.
That's
they
right.
were in charge.
That's right.
He was rich.
He
had a
rich.
Lot of property. Anytime you have thousands of cattle,
that's right.
you have some money.
And so she had a very comfortable lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of this happened, she just came loose at the seams,
mm-hmm.
and she was hurt, and she probably had some remorse in terms of her children, you know, and we don't know how many of them were hers, and they might have been all hers, but she probably had a painful experience that she was going through when she saw all of this happening,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't happen just over a period of time. This happened back to back to back to back to back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they were he was losing all of their children
yeah,
and the,
right.
all of their livestock and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to talk briefly about his three friends.
Mm-hmm.
There was Bildad, Zipporah, and Eliphaz. I think that it's pronounced Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zipporah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eliphaz said, who that was innocent ever perished, or where was the upright cut off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're questioning God. Bildad asked, does God pervert justice, or does the Almighty pervert the right? And if your children have sinned against him, he has delivered them into the hand of their transgressor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zipporah continues saying, God knows worthless men when he sees iniquity. Will he not consider it? But a stupid man will get understanding when a wild donkey's colt is born a man.
Wow.
So Job's friends acted like his enemies.
That's right.
You know, not approaching him in love, but it was an attack on him.
That's right. Isn't that amazing? And we're covering, that's probably in about the 11th chapter, mm-hmm. that Lady Kim is talking about, and we're giving an overview, so we're not going line by line and going through each chapter, but we're giving an overview. We've already given an overview of the first three chapters and the first two chapters, and now we're talking about what happened in the chapters 30 through 37, and just giving an overview of some of the things that transpired during that time. And this was the period when Job was having this conversation with his three closest friends, and they, as you just indicated, began to turn on him rather than trying to help him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So when you get on down to chapters 12 and 21, he kept listening to the words of what his friends were saying, but Job kept his confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, friends might walk away, family might forsake you, but we have a friend in God who sticketh closer than any brother.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, Job reminded his friends of that too,
mm-hmm.
because Job, after they, you know, turned on Job and said all these things, Job said, you know, keep listening to my words and let this be your comfort. Bear with me and I will speak. And after I have spoken, mock on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
in the 12th chapter. And then it goes on in the, that was in the 21st chapter. And then it says, as long as my breath is in me,
mm-hmm.
and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehoods, and my tongue will not speak falsehood, and my tongue will not utter deceit.
Mm-hmm.
So Job refused. He refused to speak against the God that he had known and loved.
That's right.
And
that's
he
right.
was faithful to his God. So that shows a lot of wisdom right there. You know, that despite all Job had gone through or was going through, he still held on to his faith.
Mm-hmm. So our word and challenge for us is, in the midst of everything that we are experiencing and going through, know that God never changes. His promises are sure. His satisfaction is yet guaranteed. Even though you might be going through a very difficult time and a difficult test, just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't throw in the towel. But God will see you through, and God will come through even in the ninth hour.
Yes, he will.
Even when the referee, you're on the mat.
Count you down,
and he has his hand in the air. I just believe that God, if we have the kind of relationship like what Job had with God, our confidence is in God, we love God, and Job probably didn't completely understand what was happening, but he knew that he had a strong bond with God.
Amen.
And when we have that kind of bond with God, whatever the test might be, God will see us through it. So you got to hold on, and you got to continue to trust God, even when you can't trace him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm talking to somebody. It keeps coming back, and somebody is probably on the call tonight, Lady Kim, and they are at a desperation period.
Mm.
They're trying to figure it out, and they're at a crossroads and trying to make some decisions. And many times the enemy will pressure us to make critical decisions in a very emotional time,
mm-hmm.
and it can be a life-altering decision that mm-hmm. will affect the rest of our lives. But I want to encourage you tonight to seek God's face, to pull back from the situation and go to God in prayer and let God order your steps through this process. Anything you want to share as it relates to that?
Only as we're ending up with this particular portion, you know, we just went over chapters 3 through 37. Job remained faithful to God the entire time. His friends were mocking and ridiculing him. Mm-hmm. And when we feel when people are not with us,
okay,
you know, when they don't understand what we're going through, we need to just turn to God and mm-hmm. cling to him.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Because we're seeing this next part. And if there are questions, you can go ahead and list those and then start getting your prayer requests together as well. But we're doing an overview of Job, and we've already covered the first 37 chapters. Can you believe it?
Yes.
In that overview. But we're not going all the way through each verse and each scripture, but we're setting the stage for how important it is for us to understand how we need the wisdom of God, even when we face adverse situations, mm-hmm. and how we have to trust God, and we have to allow that what we have on the inside of us, that God has given us, to direct us through that process. Because the word of the Lord says, greater is he that's within
greater,
you
yes.
than he that's within the world.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And
yes.
no weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. It doesn't mean that weapons won't be formed, mm-hmm. but no weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. And so we have to get that in our spirits, and we have to believe that, because most of the time, I believe most of us would enjoy just having everything going our way and not going through any difficult times. If we had a choice, we would say, well, no, I don't want to go through no difficulty. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go through any trials. I just want to have all of the blessings of God. I want to enjoy everything on the right, on this side, but I don't want to deal with all that other stuff, mm-hmm. you know. But that makes us complete and whole, and that makes us really believe. Well, it's almost like us, our belief and our faith matches up with, you know, what we know about God and what we believe about God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're going through a difficult time, what you believe about God is going to be first and foremost if you're going to make it through.
Amen.
Because if you don't have anything stored on the inside,
that's right,
it's going to be very difficult for you to come out.
Through. You know, that's one song says, if I never had a problem,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know that God could solve it.
That's right.
I wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have problems.
Right.
Situations and circumstances are going to come our way that are not favorable. But know that God is with us, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
That's
his word
that's
says
his
he'll
word.
Be with us always.
Always.
Even until the end.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're moving right on through Job. We're going to look at what happens in the latter verses, latter chapters, if you will, 38 through 42. And one of the interesting things, and I think one of the questions that a lot of people have, after Job was tried, after Job was tested, after Job had lost everything, did he gain everything back?
Mm-hmm.
Was God able to restore him with everything that he had lost? And it's hard to really kind of put that into actuality, because, you know, even though he lost all of his children and he gained everything back, it was not the same as what he lost.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
And so this part here really kind of helps us understand. But if we can go back, Lady Kim, if you have Job, and it's going to come up here in Job 13 and 15. You have your
Bible?
Yeah. And we can look at it and as we move through. But we're doing an overview of Job for those of you who are just joining us, and we're going through and just kind of pulling out some of the finer points here in these
what chapter?
13 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And see what that says.
Okay, it says, God might kill me, but I have no other hope. I am going to argue my case with him.
Okay. And so Job remained confident in the fact that God was going to see him through. And when he said, I was going to argue my case, he was pleading to God, and he was making sure that God understood what he was actually experiencing and that God was there to help him get through what he was going through. And so in this part three, if you will, 38 through 42, we see God began to step up, and he began to give Job some absolutes in terms of what he was going to do for him, in terms of him seeing Job's faithfulness in the midst of everything that he experienced.
And God tells Job in this first kind of speech, as he gives kind of two speeches, chapter 38 through 42. And the first one was, first speech was like, who is that that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That was the question God asked. He said, dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. That's in Job 38 and 2. The first speech deals mainly with God's creation.
Okay.
And the second speech deals with power in relation to himself. In these two speeches, Job realizes how ignorant he is. And he ends up vocally submitting to God in chapter 42, verses 1 through 6.
Okay.
In chapter 42, 7 and 8, God rebukes Job's three friends by looking at Elizaphat and saying, my anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job shall pray for you.
Isn't that something?
For I will accept his prayer not to deal with you according to your folly.
Wow.
For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So God here is rebuking his three friends. I call them FFs.
Okay.
You know what FFs are?
No.
Fickle folks.
Fickle folks.
Fickle folks.
Okay.
Job has some fickle folks surrounding him. One minute they were his friends, the next minute they were telling him, you know, all kind of crazy things about God. And God's anger was kindled against his three friends. And he said, in order to gain restitution, you need to have Job, not them,
right,
have Job offer sacrifices,
that's right,
to me on your behalf.
On your
that's
behalf.
The only way I'm going to forgive you.
Isn't
if
something?
Job does it. Why? Because you all were not right, and Job was righteous. He remained the same. He remained faithful to God. So God knew that Job was righteous and right, and so he told his friends, the only way you going to make it right with me is you're going to have to go through Job.
That's right. That's right. So Lady Kim, that's so powerful. And we're getting ready to wrap this up tonight. But we see that God restores Job. We see that coming into play now. Job's fortunes by giving him twice as much as he had before.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's awesome.
Now, we started out talking about how Job had to hook up. He was living high. His family was doing well. They were prosperous. They were rich. I don't know if they were millionaires or billionaires, but they had it like that. And he also had 10 more children.
Wow.
Isn't that something? He lost 10. And there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters. And then in 42 and 15, Job lived for 140 years.
Lived to be 140 years old. Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
And even though he had a whole lot, God said, bam, here
you go. He's a whole lot more.
Take that.
Amen. Yeah,
double for your trouble.
Amen.
Isn't
Amen.
That something?
That's something. I like it that he made those girls beautiful.
That's right.
His
That's
daughters
right.
were, they said, no other women
no
were
other
more
women.
Beautiful than his daughters.
That's right.
So God restored what Job had lost. And guess what? God can restore you. He can restore what you've lost a hundredfold.
And double. He can double. Double for your trouble.
That's right.
So we got to have that kind of faith. What would you say would be a lesson, a conclusion that we can learn about wisdom here just from going over this overview with Job?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, stay truthful and stay faithful.
Okay.
As Job did.
Okay.
Because if you look back over your life, when you are afflicted or you have situations coming against you, God has brought you through time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can reflect on that. And when you reflect on that and take an honest assessment of your life, you can see how faithful God has been to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can remain faithful to God.
Okay.
Faithful, you know, as Job stayed faithful and truthful to God. And then you need to stand up for yourself and defend your integrity just like Job.
Mm-hmm.
He defended his, he told his friends, no, that's not what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm not going to turn my back on God.
That's right.
You know, so you need to stand up for yourself. Be honest with God.
Be honest with him.
You know, a lot of times God is not like man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can tell people anything. You
mm-hmm.
know, we can make people believe anything. We can flage in front of people and our friends and our family. But you can be honest with God.
Okay.
You know, so stay honest with God. Stay faithful to God in all circumstances. Humbly submit to God's authority. You know, God is in control.
That's right.
Sometimes we want to control things so badly. And when we begin to step in and try to control things, we mess it up every time. Amen.
That's right.
So, you know, when we do that, God steps in and takes the reins. You know, in chapter 35, he takes the reins and the discussion between Job and his friends. And God displayed his knowledge and wisdom, showing their lack of knowledge and wisdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So those are really the takeaways, if you will, as it relates to wisdom. And that's what we're studying in this portion of scripture and these books that we're going to be going through. It's all about wisdom. And there's so much wisdom when you look at what Job had to experience and his response to what he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that wisdom had to come from God. We started out talking about his relationship with God. And I think that's where we need to start if we are going to have the kind of wisdom like Job in order to get through whatever stresses or whatever circumstances that we might be facing.
Amen. Amen.
And so the first one was to stay truthful and faithful. The second was to stand up for yourself as Job defended his integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Then be honest with God. Don't try to trick God or fool God. And then stay faithful to God in all circumstances. I like that one. Not just some circumstances. Because when things are going good, we good, you know. But when things start to fall apart, how are you going to relate to God when it looks like everything is coming loose at the seams? God wants us to remain faithful to him in all of the circumstances. Proverbs says, in all of our ways,
acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm. And he's promised to direct our path. But then you said we need to humbly submit to God's authority. That's where that obedience comes in, Lady Kim. Because when things start going the opposite direction of what we want them to go, many times we walk away from God and we want to handle it our way,
mm-hmm.
instead of continuing to submit to God and allowing God to get us out of what we're going through.
Amen.
And so Job humbly submitted to God's authority. We've got to humbly submit to God's authority in all things.
All things.
And that's what wisdom is all about. Those are some key points for wisdom throughout this particular study that we're having even tonight.
Amen. Amen.
What about a good definition of, if you will, of these wisdom scriptures that we have talked about?
Well, you stated it at the beginning of Bible study that wisdom means both a way of thinking mm-hmm. and a body of knowledge gained through such thinking,
okay,
as well as the ability to apply it to life.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Job's theme is an eternal problem of unmerited suffering
mm-hmm.
and is named after the central character of Job, who attempts to understand the sufferings that engulf him, using wisdom to guard him against those who call him friend but are not his friend.
Okay. And so this basically kind of sums up what we have talked about in these scriptures. And you will see, if you look at Job 9, 1 through 31, you'll see wisdom and power of God are seen throughout this entire chapter, this ninth chapter, for those of you who perhaps are taking notes. And then when you look at that 12th chapter and you talked about it, you'll see that wisdom being displayed there as well. And even in the 13th chapter, and we lifted up verse 15, but you'll see that on display as you move throughout the book of Job. You can be on point in terms of trying to get clarity about those scriptures that really gives us help in understanding the wisdom that we need in order to get through what we're going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Job's, he was restored. He's good fortune. It doesn't say anything about his wife, though.
No, it doesn't mention it.
No. And so we don't know if she was the one who gave birth to the 10 children that he lost. And we don't know if she was the one who gave birth to the 10 that he was restored back. But we do know that God showed him extreme favor and gave him double for his trouble. And he blessed him with much more than he had lost in the beginning.
Amen.
And so the same thing is true for us. When we trust the timing of God in our situations and in our circumstances, God will see us through in the end. And many times we want to get ahead of God. But Isaiah reminds us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so we've got to ask God to teach us how to wait on him
mm-hmm.
and not to get in a hurry and try to do it our way. When God, the test or the trial or the tribulation that we might be experiencing, is there to make us strong and to help develop our faith, and each victory will help us some other to win. Because once you come out of one situation, that doesn't mean that
that's the end of everything. Right.
It's going to be something else that's going to come up.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me?
Absolutely.
On that?
And you're going to have to be prayed up and fasted up and, you know, girded up.
That's
in the word of God in order to sustain during times of calamity or trouble.
Okay. So we'll stop right there for tonight, Lady Kim. And we gave just an overview of the entire book of Job. And what we'll do on next week, we'll try to pick up with Proverbs and mm-hmm. then just kind of give an overview and talk about not the entire book of Proverbs, but we're going to do an overview similar to what we've done tonight. We're going to look at chapters 1 through 15 and chapters 16 through 33. In terms of the overview that we'll do for next week. So you can go ahead and read ahead on the book of Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
But Proverbs is so rich with wisdom, I tell you. And it's similar to Psalms, but it gives you more of a, I think, more of a personal direct emphasis in terms of things that you might be going through personally. Even though Psalms does that, but we know it's more descriptive in terms of other people's lives. But everything that you read in Proverbs almost is applicable to what we are experiencing in our own lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll stop there for tonight. Are there any prayer requests that you
yes.
see coming through?
Okay. Sister Michelle Calhoun asked for prayer. She's taking the praxis test in the morning
okay.
at 8. And so... we ask the Holy Spirit to bring back to your remembrance,
mm-hmm,
amen,
mm-hmm.
everything that you have studied and everything that you have learned so that you can pass on tomorrow.
Okay.
Brother Robert Jefferson asked for prayers for Patricia Johnson and family, medical concerns, and for guidance for Travis Johnson. So, and Sister Lavonia asked for prayers for her son, Kyan.
Okay.
All right. And Pat Echols, I assume you're asking for prayer for yourself. We most definitely will pray for you, Sister Pat. We also want to lift up Sister Carolyn Smith and Minister Pastor Marquise McPherson in the loss of Sister Carolyn's sister-in-law in Nashville. Her name was Helen Fields. So we want to lift up that sister-in-law, and that was Pastor Marquise's aunt. So we want to lift them up in our prayers.
Okay, okay. Are there any other prayer requests as we prepare to close out tonight? We know that God knows all, but we just want to touch and agree and believe God with you for what you're believing God to do in your situation. We know that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we are praying. We have at least two opportunities to pray at ATOP during the week, Tuesday mornings and Wednesday evenings. There are prayer warriors on the wall that are praying on behalf of the concerns that we are aware of. And we believe in the power of prayer. There's power in prayer. And God not only hears, but he answers our prayers. And so we have that at our disposal, and so we have to access that and use it so that we can get the breakthroughs that we need.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, you want to go ahead and close us out in prayer then, Lady Kim?
Yes, let us pray tonight. God, we thank you. We humble ourselves before you tonight, God. First of all, God, we ask that you would forgive us for all our unrighteousness. We know that we've said things, done some things, even thought some things that were unfaithful and sinful in your eyesight. So we ask that you would purge us with hyssop and make us clean. As we stand before you, O most holy God, we lift up the prayer concerns of your people, O God. We pray for Sister Michelle as she prepares for the praxis exam on tomorrow, God. We ask that you would show her grace and favor. Holy Spirit, bring back to remembrance
those things, O God,
she has learned. Let her not struggle, O God, with any portion of the exam, but let her pass with flying colors. No stress. We ask that you would give her peace, O God, as she walks into that examination room. God, we lift up Sister Pat Echols to you, God. You know all about her because you made and you created
her,
God.
Yes, God.
So, God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would touch Sister Pat right now, God, and bless her life even the more. We lift up Kyan Jones to you, God. We ask that you would touch his life, God.
Restore,
give him direction
restore,
and directive,
God.
Oh God,
restore.
On what he should do, where he should go. Give him friends, oh God. Surround him with people, oh God, who will uplift him. Not friends like Job's, oh
God,
who will curse
you,
but friends who will lift him up in the spirit realm and lift him up to you, God. We ask, God, that you would be with the Smith family and Fields family, God, as they prepare to lay their loved one, Sister Helen, to rest. Bless them tonight, oh God. Give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. We pray for Sister Carolyn's sister also, God, Sister Willie Mae, God. We ask that you would bless her life, God, and give her strength that she needs in order to run on to see what the end will be. We pray for Patricia Johnson and Travis Johnson,
yes,
God. You know what they stand in need of, God. We ask, oh God, that you would provide all their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, as Travis needs guidance and direction on today, God, so many of our young people, oh God, are wondering, being tossed and driven like the waves of the sea. But we ask, oh God, that you would give them a mentor, God, a spiritual mentor, oh God, someone to speak into their lives directly, oh God, to allow them to walk in holiness and your boldness. We lift up all the seniors who are without air conditioning. Yes, we lift up anybody who's without air conditioning in these hot days that are to come, oh God. Provide the coolness that they need, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, for Sister Valerie Rankins and her oldest son, oh God. Oh God, we ask that you would touch his body right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Relieve the pain and anguish that he may be feeling right now, God. And we ask, oh God, that you would just heal his body. Give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding, knowing that you have everything under control. So we thank you tonight. God, we pray for every young person. God, the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But we know that your word says that you have come to give us life. And life more abundantly. So we speak abundant life into our young people, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue, oh God, to raise up a generation that loves you, oh God, that follows you, oh God, that wants to learn more about you, oh God, that will lead our nation into the future. We lift up and we bring down high gas prices right now, God. We ask you to bring inflation under control, oh God. The little raises that we received, oh God, of the inflation is eating up the little extra we thought we would have. We ask, oh God, that you would bring inflation under control right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you tonight, God. We ask that you would bless our pastor tonight, God. Continue to give Dr. Murray wisdom, oh God, and strength as he follows you, oh God. Allow him, oh God, to continue, oh God, with good health, oh God. Continue, oh God, to listen and hear from you and continue in the direction and the path in which you would have him to go. And we thank you, oh God, for speaking into his life. We thank you for entrusting him, oh God, with the ministry of Anointed Temple of Praise. And thank we ask God. That you would continue, oh God, to show favor on ATOP and its members and all those that are connected with it. We love you. We thank you for your tremendous blessings. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to reign on us. Reign in our lives. Reign in our situations. Reign in our church. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Hallelujah. Glory God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. All right, well, that brings us to a close tonight. We hope you enjoyed this study, and you can go back and refresh and read Job at your leisure. But a great study tonight, and we thank God for his presence, his protection, and we praise him for his power. Amen. Even tonight.
Amen.
All right, hope you have a good night. Rest good night. Up tonight, and be blessed.
Be blessed. Bye-bye.